Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Flaherty Report is back, and the John Flaherty Report is powered by Laborers Local 731, Feel the Power, and by Arnold's, Simply Delicious Meats, serving quality meat since 1967. We got a tied series at one.
It's the Flaherty Report with John Flaherty. Somebody's getting pizzazzed.
Yes, they are. And a game three tonight at Yankee Stadium. Severino and Eovaldi, who has given the Yankees fits. John, good morning. Thanks for joining us again. How are you?
I am doing great. How's it going, guys?
We're doing really well. And one thing that concerns me about tonight's game from a Yankee perspective is Nathan Eovaldi has given them trouble. And I know that this Yankee lineup's different. Boomer's telling me not to worry about it. And this is not the lineup that Eovaldi saw last time. But they haven't been able to figure him out. What do they need to do tonight to break through against them?
Well, I mean, he developed this nice little cut fastball that's been a good weapon for him. And obviously, he throws hard, so you're going to have to deal with the velocity. But the one thing we remember from him when he was a Yankee and even now as a Red Sox, he throws a lot of pitches. I mean, the pitch count gets out of control really early for him. So, again, this is going to be another bullpen night for the Red Sox and probably for the Yankees. And, you know, the Yankees have a huge advantage there. I mean, the guys that the Red Sox are rolling out of the bullpen, you don't feel, like, intimidated. You don't feel like they're going to dominate a lineup. So, you know, I said it the other night on our pregame show, and tonight's going to be no different. It's going to be a pitch count game. Get into the bullpen as early as possible, and you feel good about the matchup there.
And, you know, John, taking a look at those first two games, I mean, even talking to WEEI, their radio station up there this morning, Red Sox fans realize that this is a completely different Yankee lineup than they had seen all year long. They saw it the one Friday night in the last series, and they saw all the home runs and everything else. You know, at the end of the day, the momentum is all on the Yankee side right now. I don't care what anybody says. The question that I would have for you, if Hicks is back in the lineup tonight, and it sounds like he's going to be, do we go back to the original lineup where they put Sanchez in the eight hole, or because of what Sanchez did against Price, and I know he hits lefties well and also later in the game, do they keep Sanchez where he is right now because he's hot?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, maybe you put Hicks in three and put Sanchez five and move Voit down maybe one or two. I mean, these are things Aaron Boone has to figure out. But, you know, Gary Sanchez is such an amazing player that, and he's such a frustrating player for me to watch during the year because of how good he is. I mean, when you see him do what he did in that game and when we've seen him elevate his game defensively, it just makes you shake your head on what, you know, sometimes what happens during the regular season. But the kid is so talented. He can change a game, you know, the way he swings the bat. He didn't have a throw out of a base runner the other night trying to steal a base, but he made a great throw and it was close. I mean, he's so talented that, you know, it's nice to see his game step up here during the postseason.
Are you worried at all about Giancarlo Stanton? Because I know he's got a couple of singles. Of course, the seventh inning of game one with the bases loaded, striking out. He's coming back home where he's been booed before. Is there anything about his game, his swing right now, that is concerning you in the middle of that Yankee lineup with, you know, runners on base where it's going to find him again because of where he hits in the order? How about Giancarlo?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I think, Gio, is that, you know, everybody else in the lineup is really swinging the bat well, so it's not all on him. But that being said, he's being exposed with the high fastball, you know, especially from righties. And he's going to see that from Eovaldi tonight at about 98, 99. They're going to pitch him up. And, you know, the problem is he's swinging at it. He doesn't have to swing at it.
Yeah, don't swing at it.
That's the way they're exploiting him now. But, you know, like I said, the good news is that other guys are swinging the bat well, so you don't feel like Stanton has to get a big hit in order for you to win this game tonight. But obviously, the Red Sox found something, and they're exploiting it.
You know, it's kind of interesting. We talk about Stanton. We talk about the pressure. Let's face it, he's not a homegrown Yankee. He comes here with a huge contract. There have been a lot of other guys that have followed in his footsteps, or he's following in their footsteps, who have had their moments as Yankees, but then, you know, kind of petered out towards the end of their careers and the end of their contracts. He's not Aaron Judge. I mean, Aaron Judge right now stands head and shoulders above everybody else on this baseball team. And he is truly, at least in my eyes, and I'm not a Yankee fan, you're a former Yankee, you cover them on a daily basis. This guy has to be the face of the Yankees. Am I right?
No doubt, Boomer. And, you know, I hate to make comparisons, but, you know, I played with Derek. And, you know, when Derek got to the postseason, it was no big deal. It was almost like just another game, just another at bat. And when I watch Aaron Judge play in these games, that's the way it seems. It seems like, okay, no big deal. We're just doing our thing. And, you know, you listen to him after the game, he's just rock solid. And, you know, I think that's the greatest compliment you could give to any athlete, is that when the game gets, you know, to its greatest point where, you know, the games mean the most, he treats it like a spring training at bat. And the results have been there. So, you know, you almost took it for granted when he was gone. You didn't realize what you had. And when he came back, obviously the team started playing a little bit better. And these moments in the postseason for him are just incredible.
Yeah, he makes the team whole. There's no question about that. You're sitting there, you're Larry Rothschild, you're talking to Luis Severino going into tonight's game. Obviously, they do have guys in their lineup that can do the same thing to your pitching staff that your team can do to their pitching staff. Give me a little bit of insight on what the discussion is with Luis Severino, especially when he starts the game with the top of the lineup in the first inning.
Well, you know, the Yankees have done a good job with Mookie Betts, and they're kind of doing everything. They're showing him in, they're showing him down and away. J.D. Martinez had that one big swing of the bat in game one, and it was a mistake from Happ. That was a fastball down and in instead of being elevated up and in. It's really the only zone that you can go on J.D. Martinez is a little box up and in by his hands. And, you know, the batting average is about 200 there. The rest of the strike zone, he just wears it out. So, you know, for Severino, I thought in that wild card game, his control was so good. You know, I think he walked four, but if you think back to the at-bats, I mean, he was just missing off the plate. So I think you need him to be a little bit more aggressive tonight, maybe give you another inning or two if he can get into that fifth or sixth inning and hand it over to the bullpen. But, you know, the two guys for the Red Sox that you just have to keep down, and they've done a pretty good job so far, definitely with Betts. Maybe do a little better job with Martinez, and Severino should be fine.
Talking to John Flaherty, analyst for the YES Network, former Yankee on Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. What from the wild card start that you saw from Severino do you need to see again tonight to make sure that he's effective?
Same thing, Geo. You know, I worry about him sometimes because he gets so amped up and he throws so hard, and he just starts chucking it up there instead of pitching. And I was impressed with that wild card game that he came out that first at bat, and the fastball command was outstanding. You know, sometimes he can get away with a lot of mistakes when he sprees it around a little bit, but I didn't see any of that from the wild card game. So it tells me his emotions are under control, which is a big thing for him. He gets excited. He wants to throw harder. Sometimes for him, you got to take a step backwards. So I feel really good about it tonight for him. He answered a lot of questions in my eyes with that wild card game. You know, obviously didn't go real deep into that game, but he was dominant with the strikeout stuff. So I feel good about him starting this game tonight.
You know, John, we're into the maiden voyage of Aaron Boone managing the Yankees. Three games into his playoff career as a Yankee manager. Give me your assessment of what you've seen and how he's handled these situations thus far.
Great job. Great job so far. The wild card game, I thought he had a big night. Going to Dylan Betances early, and I think he treated game two in this series the same way as he treated the wild card, that it was a must win. I got to go to my bullpen guys, my high leverage guys earlier than I would in a different situation. You know, the defensive moves that he's making and the timing of them I thought have been great. I've noticed a little change in his demeanor dealing with the media during the postseason than during the regular season, which I think I have liked, you know, to see, and I think Yankee fans, maybe the one criticism of Boone is maybe a little laid back, and, you know, I'm sensing a little more intensity here during the playoffs, and the decisions that he's making so far in three games have been spot on. So, you know, looking for the same tonight.
How about the decision to bring CeCe in for game four as opposed to bringing back Happ on short rest because of all the pitches that he threw and getting him lined up for game five? Is that something that you would have done?
Well, I mean, this all changes with what happens tonight. But, Sabathia is such a rock in that clubhouse, and I think you feel good about him in the postseason start and the fact that he doesn't have to go long. You know, you look at a Sabathia start, if he gets it in game four, it's, give me three or four good innings and I'll hand it over to my bullpen. And that's the biggest difference that jumps out in this series with the Boston Red Sox, is that Alex Cora doesn't have that same luxury. He needs his starters to go deeper in games. When Price, gets lit up and he's out of there early, I mean, that bullpen is exposed. And it wasn't exposed all year, but it's exposed now. So from a Sabathia standpoint, it doesn't have to be five or six innings. It could be three. It could be four. And you'll take your chances with the bullpen.
Yeah, even though he's a starter, it still becomes almost like a bullpen game. That's your mindset going into it. And let's just put it this way. What happens if the Yankees do lose tonight, then what do you do in game four? That's the real question, right?
That's totally it. Do you trust Sabathia enough, which I think that they do. I do. If you're going to, tell me he's going to throw three good innings against the Boston Red Sox, I'd say absolutely. And then you take your chances with Happ, not on short rest. And, will Sale be the same guy that he was in game one? I mean, I thought his stuff was really good at the beginning and faded as that game went on. So it tells me, they don't want to go short with him. He's probably coming back on game five. Will his stuff be the same? And that's what you have to try to figure out.
Were you as amped as I was watching Ryan Brazier go after Gary Sanchez and the whole thing, get in the box and all that other stuff? I was like, now we really got Yankees Red Sox.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Boomer, because, that's the best part of this rivalry when there's some tension, when these guys don't like each other. I mean, back when I played, we hated Kevin Millar, we hated Curt Schilling, and you almost want these guys to hate the other opposing team. And when you get a little confrontation like that, and I give Brazier some credit because he struggled in game one, and he's calling out Gary Sanchez in game two, and he was able to get the job done. That's what makes this so much more fun. So, hopefully we get a little bit of that tonight in the next couple of days, because that's what makes Red Sox-Yankees the best, in my opinion, rivalry in sports.
Great talking to you, John. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Have a good time.
All right. See you, John.
John Flaherty, the Flaherty Report, of course, former Yankee with Yes Network, and they still do the pre- and post-game shows. They cancel their post-game shows if it's a blowout or not?
No, I think they still have their post-game shows. But, right. That'd be like me saying, the Super Bowl's a blowout. I'm not showing up. I don't need to show up. But I will say this. Who needs any more than that? That right there breaks down everything.
Flash.
That's right. He's my man. It.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.